Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast Channel. I'm your host as usual, Guy, and joining me is Carl. How you doing, bud?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's a beautiful sunny day, and somehow it's 20th of September, which sounds weird to me, but hey-ho. Global warming and all that jazz. how's the weather? I'll be British about this. You can be awkwardly Irish.
It's dull here, but it's not raining, which, you know, when it's not raining in Ireland, you just kind of take it. That's good weather.
If it's, exactly. Exactly. Right. Anywho, we are here to review the THQ Nordic 10th anniversary event, which will sum up our general thoughts on it just after the news. But we'll start with the news, Carl. I mean, we've got a few stories. I mean, the first one, I don't know if it's linked to what we may have brought up on the PlayStation event, but it's something.
Yeah, so obviously this does link into when we actually previewed the PlayStation event. There was one of the rumors seemed to touch on this, but maybe they just weren't quite accurate with the rumor. So Legendary Racing Series Wipeout returns with a mobile idle game. And this story comes from Chris Holt over at Engadget. And Chris writes, "It's been a few years since the last Wipeout game, so fans may be pleased to hear there's a new title on the way. However, Wipeout Rush is quite different from what long-term fans might expect. It's a card-based mobile game in which you'll manage a team of competitors instead of controlling any anti-gravity ships directly. Quote, if I want that visceral, immersive, intense racing experience, I'll find it waiting on PlayStation," end quote, Matt Casamassina, CEO of developer Rogue Games, told IGN. Quote, "But at the same time, we're delighted that we could rethink Wipeout for mobile with some fun new play mechanics and gorgeous visuals," end quote. Wipeout Rush features more than 60 ships from across the Wipeout series. The single-player campaign contains 12 championship cups that take place across five environments with unique tracks, as well as a story told through comic book-style visuals. There's also an electronica soundtrack from long-standing Sony composer Alistair Lindsay, while Rogue says you'll be able to play it at up to 60 frames per second. It might not be the full-on Wipeout experience that veteran players might have been hoping for on, say, PS5, but it could kickstart the revival of a series that's been part of PlayStation's DNA for over a quarter of a century. Wipeout Rush will hit iOS and Android later this year, and you can get the full story over at Engadget. So, as I alluded to, Guy, there was rumors ahead of the PlayStation showcase that Wipeout was set for a revival. And that it wasn't the case, as there wasn't any announcement at the showcase. But we have a mobile game. You know, is that a disappointment, or is it kind of like a positive sign for fans? What do you think?
It's good for me. I can play it without dusting off the PlayStation. No one likes a phone game, do they, when they're expecting a full game? That's probably how to sum it up. I think it's a perfect game for phone, to be honest. But, yeah. When was the last Wipeout game? That's a little while ago.
There was the collection on PS4 that also then kind of had a VR capabilities. Mm. So that would have been the Amiga collection, mm-hmm. and it came out in 2017.
So it's not too far away, but it's probably due a new installment or even a next gen remaster or whatever. Well, just putting in better graphics and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's perfect for phone. But people who wanted this on PlayStation, it will annoy them because I mean, there's probably a reason. That's probably the reason it wasn't shown at the showcase, is it? I mean, do you remember E3 all them years ago where we watched that crappy EA one and it was Command and Conquer on phone? Oh crap, was that? Obviously, yeah. I don't think it's not the same as Wipeout, but it would have annoyed people, I presume. But yeah, it's good for me because I can play it on my phone and probably a few people. I mean, I always have one phone game I'll just play. Whether you're on the loo, whenever you're just bored in bed, or whatever you're watching on TV, crap. This might become it. But yeah, I can see why it'd be annoying. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I think it's not just the fact that it's mobile. I mean, that's always kind of, you know, a pet peeve of a lot of gamers when they've been waiting for a game in a certain series, and then we get obviously a mobile announcement, and it's just a bit deflating. However, I think what makes it even worse is the fact that this isn't even like, you know, your standard racing game. It's a card based game. You know, it's not really the hands on Wipeout game that people would have liked. I think even if it was a kind of more traditional Wipeout game on mobile, that'd be easier for fans to swallow. But the fact that it's a departure from the main series is going to be disappointing. And I mean, it doesn't rule out that, you know, a mainline game could be in the works. Obviously, when Sony acquired FireSprite, as we discussed on last week's news, there is suggestions, obviously, with a lot of the people there used to be part of Sony Liverpool, who were the custodians of the Wipeout series. So perhaps they could revive Wipeout. And of course, there is also Creative Vault Studios, who developed the aforementioned Omega collection. And strangely, actually, their website still seems to highlight the Omega collection. So you'd wonder what they're working on now. It's clearly been a while for them. So there's a possibility that maybe they could return with a further game in the series. But for now, obviously, the last thing they did, as I said, was the collection. They did the VR update for it in 2018. So, you know, 3 years quiet, you'd expect to hear from them on what their next project is before long. And I'm sure fans will be hoping that it's another Wipeout game. But I suppose the jury's out on that one.
Yeah, I think we'll wait and see. But if the phone game does well, you'll probably see a full installment of it, so yeah, why not? But yeah, I'll probably download it on my phone and just have it there in the background, unless it's one of them that just destroys your phone and your battery. but we'll see. Next news story, I'll read this one. Splitgate will have Forge mode before Halo Infinite, dev insists. This is from Eurogamer from Ishraq Subhan. Splitgate will get its own version of Forge mode before it arrives in Halo Infinite, developer 1047 Games has said. In a response to a tweet by KFC Gaming of all places, the official Splitgate account announced the plans. Forge mode, which made its debut in Bungie's Halo 3, lets players edit and create playable maps that can be shared with the community. Earlier last month, current Halo developer 343 Industries announced campaign co-op and Forge for Halo Infinite are delayed until after the game's December 8th launch. 1047 recently received 100 mil in funding sparked by the surprise success of Splitgate, which now has over 13 million downloads. A Forge-like mode for Splitgate would be fitting due to its uncanny resemblance to Halo. It's often been described as Halo meets Portal game. The weight of Halo with a neat borrowing from Valve makes the shooter to remember, said Vicky Blake in Eurogamer's review of the game. Yeah, it makes sense to me, Carl. I know you played it. I'm not sure how much you did play it, but the map seem... Well, it seems like... I wouldn't say easy, but if you let your community run wild with that, I could see it being really successful.
Yeah, I mean, the maps there are quite simple, based on what I played. You know, really remind you of early Halo, and potentially, in some cases, even more simple than the early Halo games. So I think Forge mode would be very easy to implement, and very easy for players to get to grips with. So it makes a lot of sense. But I mean, it's just embarrassing, really, for 343 Industries that this indie studio that kind of has gotten out ahead of them to begin with their game and have got a lot of fans on board that have been waiting a long time for a new Halo game to get sinked their teeth into, and now they're going to get a Forge mode out ahead of Halo Infinite's, which really highlights what a joke it is that Halo Infinite, after being delayed for 12 months, isn't going to have all its game modes on launch. I mean, it just seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, well, I think we've spoken numerous times on how 343 have kind of, well, and Microsoft and Xbox by extension, but 343 especially, they've just done a bad job with the Halo franchise. And yeah, the fact it got delayed a year, the horrid showcase from a year ago with, what's he called? What's that boy called?
I can't think of his name.
Name. Halo. I don't think that was it. I can't really remember his name. Anywho, but yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. Obviously, Halo will be a lot more detailed than Splitgate, or you bloody well hope it will be. But 343's got literally unlimited funds from one of the biggest companies in the world. The company in this industry spending the most money in this industry, unless Tencent have been buying more stuff whilst I've not been paying attention. It is kind of embarrassing, and we still don't have a time, unless I've missed it, we don't have a time frame on even co-op campaign, never mind Forge mode. So yeah, it's disappointing from that regard. But in terms of Splitgate, as we said, I think it does fit, because as we said, it's almost like, I don't mean this as a criticism, but almost like blocky maps, which you could see easily put together with a nice UI, almost like Minecraft-y. You just literally put blocks together and it works like that. I think we've even seen like games like Doom and stuff like that put them in. So I think it'll work really well. It just depends how advanced people can go with it. But back in the day, we saw some mad Halo creations. Hopefully the Splitgate community can do the same. I mean, who wouldn't want to play like Cops and Robbers again?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of what it brings to Splitgate in terms of especially with the community and what was a big part of Halo in the past has been the Forge community and the different game modes, and some game modes which even then ended up being adopted by Bungie had their origins in Forge. So it'll just bring Splitgate to a whole new level, really. And because, you know, unlike Halo, it doesn't have a campaign, it doesn't have co-op. It really is all about the multiplayer, and giving people the ability, you know, to make it their own sandbox, design levels, design game modes is how you bring that kind of game to the next level. So it's a big move, by that studio. And, as I said, they're just, you know, I don't mean to disrespect Splitgate by focusing on how it reflects on 343, but I just can't afford, can't help but to do so, because it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're both fans of Splitgate, so hopefully it does well. But if anything, it's just going to hopefully inspire or annoy 343 into, well, it doesn't really matter when it comes out now because it's not on launch, but make Forge Mode great and make, well, co-op campaign. But yeah, hopefully it inspires 343 to pull that finger out. Anywho, one more news story from us, and we may have a couple things to discuss, like rumours and stuff, but yeah, maybe not. But new Star Wars game from Quantic Dream being rumoured, Carl. I mean, this is good news for me.
Yeah, so new Star Wars game from Quantic Dream, rumoured to have been in development for 18 months. This comes from Vicky Blake and Ben Tyrer over at GamesRadar. And they write, Heavy Rain and Detroit Become Human developer Quantic Dream is reportedly working on a new Star Wars game. Though we can only write this up with a skeptical bucket of proverbial salt right now, two different sources have said similar things in recent weeks, citing that following the end of the studio's three-game exclusivity deal with Sony, it has now signed up with Disney. Quote, they've now finished their contract with Sony and will be signing with Disney, end quote, French YouTuber Gattaz teased earlier this week. Quote, it looks like they will be working on a Star Wars game, end quote. DualShocker's Tom Henderson has separately hinted the same thing too, although a touch more subtly. Instead, Henderson posted an image of a red and blue lightsaber crossed in front of a Detroit Become Human android. Is it definitely happening? Not even slightly. But it's interesting that two separate sources have made similar claims so close in time to each other, and Henderson has been proven correct in regards to leaks they've made in the past, so watch this space, I guess. Quantic Dream has been pretty quiet lately, beyond the surprise re-release of Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, depending upon where you are in the world, last year. Back in February, Quantic Dream unannounced a new game was in the works, which it hopes will explore new ways of video game storytelling. In an interview, studio head David Cage discussed Quantic Dream's ambitions for its next game and outlined his desire for, quote, meaningful experiences questioning players' moral values, end quote, that make the player the hero. Quote, I also believe that there are other ways of telling moving and emotional stories that we haven't tried out yet, and I'm really interested in exploring new directions, end quote, Cage said at the time. And you get the full story over on GamesRadar. So, Guy, as you said, you're interested in this one. Why?
Because I'm an Xbox man, and I've never got to play one of these goddamn games. But Detroit Become Human looks perfect for me. Heavy Rain was, like, I was quite young when that, well, I wasn't young, but I was still a teenager when that came out, and I always wanted to play that game, but I never had a PS3. Only had a PS4 to play Spider-Man and God of War, pretty much. And a couple of us. But I really want to experience one of these games on my console of choice, and the fact that it's a Star Wars game obviously doesn't mean it's going to be the same type of game, like, picking choices. It's very conversational. You've obviously played most of their games, so you could probably comment more on how it actually plays, but I could see that playing really well in a big universe like Star Wars, because I'm sure you'll comment on it more than me, as I say, but you look at the bits and bobs I've seen of Detroit Become Human, the world looks really interesting. Heavy Rain's obviously well known for its characters and stuff like that. So I think if you have a source material such as Star Wars, where it's got lore after lore after lore after lore, character after character, and however it fits in, whether it's completely new or it's based on other stuff, I could see it being really good. And obviously, where, a game like that where you're picking on morals and stuff, you've obviously naturally got the light side v the dark side and then grey Jedi and all that stuff. So I think it could work really well. And if it is true, the rumour, I mean, if it has been working on it 18 months, hopefully we see something on it probably within the next year or so. It'd be one I'd really keep an eye out for.
Yeah, well, I'd be quite the opposite to you in that I've played plenty of Quantic Dream. I mean, they have, I believe, 5 games to date, and I've completed 3 of those. I've completed Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, if you're on the other side of the Atlantic. I've finished Heavy Rain, and I've finished Detroit Become Human, and all 3 are absolute classics, like most plays in my view. I mean, as far as storytelling and in games goes, you know, it's very difficult to touch a Quantic Dream game. They're right up there for their ability to tell a story. And I know they are very much narrative based games. You know, there's not a massive amount of gameplay in these, especially their earlier games are very much quick time events, which I'm not particularly good at quick time events. So I'd often get like the worst possible outcomes in, particularly in Fahrenheit. I think I got like the worst ending in that game, but sure, I still enjoyed it. But they're great at what they do. And it's funny, I think of, you know, while they're very different types of game in a lot of ways, I do tend to often look at Quantic Dream and look at Telltale in the way that, you know, they're similar in terms of being very heavy on story and you know, gameplay is secondary. And it was always interesting how Telltale got to take on all these different kind of popular IPs, Batman, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and the like, while Quantic Dream have always kind of stuck to original IP, like of their own creation. And you know, as I said, they've been fantastic, but I always kind of wondered what it would be like if they took on a kind of an existing IP and made it their own. And Star Wars is one we really haven't, you know, we've had a lot of different kinds of Star Wars games, but we've never really had this kind of game, this kind of adventure, you know, kind of choose your path type game with Star Wars. So I think there's a lot that could be done with that, and some interesting stories that could be told. So I'd be really intrigued by this. And I put a lot of weight on the rumor. I believe Tom Henderson came out again and spoke about it later in the week and suggested that you know, he has heard that they've been working on it for a spell, but he said he gathers that it's still a little far off at this point. So I'm not sure we'll hear about it soon, but you know, maybe 18 months down the line we could hear something official. And you know, as someone who can never get enough of Star Wars games, and as I said, a fan of Quantic Dream, I think this one would be one I'll be definitely jumping on when we do eventually hear something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I've not experienced one yet, and I've always looked forward to one, so hopefully not too far away, but as long as it's good, I don't mind waiting. But before we get on to THQ, I mentioned a couple rumours to you beforehand, well, before we start recording, I should say. Xbox rumoured, we don't have a story connected, but there is rumours that they're looking at another acquisition. I jokingly said I like acquisitions, but it'd be nice to have some game. We've had less games than acquisitions, so it'd be nice to get some games made from all these new studios, but it wouldn't surprise if Microsoft made an acquisition. It's rumoured to be a big one, but any idea what that'd be? I mean, we said WB, some people have said Ubisoft, which I can't see happening, Bungie, slight rumours as well. I mean, firstly, your thoughts on an actual acquisition and any thoughts who it would be?
I'd honestly prefer they don't make any further acquisitions, because, I mean, in general, anyway, I think the video game industry has become a little too consolidated in recent years. I mean, we've seen Microsoft pick up a ton of studios, as well as picking up a publisher in Bethesda. We've seen EA pick up Codemasters. We've seen Embracer Group pick up more studios than I can count. And we've seen Tencent and NetEase invest, you know, either get a complete pie or a slice of the pie in a lot of companies. So it feels like, you know, very few people control the video game industry these days, and that's not how I like the industry to be. So, you know, there's that reason, and there's also the reason, looking at Microsoft individually, I think it was necessary for them to expand their studios, but I think they've done that, and they have the studios there, they have the talent, and now it's about just showing that they can run those studios well and get the games out. Because I think even when they didn't have many studios, I don't think they were maximizing the productivity of those studios. I mean, like, they had Rare working on Kinect games for a large point where they had them. They obviously sent Lionhead to an early grave. You know, I'm not going to say mismanaged, but I can see why that accusation mm-hmm. could be made. So I just want to see quality now from Microsoft. I don't need more quantity. They have plenty of studios. As for who it could be, you know, it's the same rumors as you said, WB, Square Enix, Sega. I could see a Japanese acquisition, because I know Phil Spencer apparently recently commented on how he's disappointed with how the Xbox platform has performed in Japan over the years, and that he'd like to change that. And I know there's talk, they have made moves to kind of secure RPGs and stuff for Game Pass and things like that, but, you know, that maybe they might do something on a larger scale. So I think maybe if anything makes sense, it could be a Japanese acquisition. I hope to God it's not Square Enix, because I wouldn't like to see their games going exclusive on Xbox.
And like all the big ones have got timed exclusivity with PlayStation.
Sony, it'd be strange. It'd be very strange. And I think Square Enix has a lot of history with both PlayStation and Nintendo, so that wouldn't make sense. Yeah. Again, Capcom's another one who has a lot of history on the PlayStation and
especially Nintendo platforms. Yeah, Monster Hunter it'd be weird, wouldn't it?
You know, it'd be interesting if they potentially picked up Konami's IPs, which, funny enough, has been something that has been rumored for Sony for a long time. And that's maybe one that seems realistic, because I'm sure Konami would be happy to sell for the right price. But there's smaller Japanese companies that I think could make even more sense, a lot more sense. You know, Platinum jumped mine, even though there's a bit of bad blood supposedly with Microsoft, given what happened with Scalebound.
We can bring it back.
Yeah, but maybe picking up a small, you know, just even a single Japanese studio could be a nice acquisition, because at the moment the only Japanese studio they have is Tango Gameworks, which obviously they got as part of the Bethesda takeover. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing I personally, you know, think would make sense, would be a Japanese acquisition. I don't think they need any more Western studios. I think they have a lot there. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I quite like the Japanese idea. Makes sense to me. Just maybe not even an acquisition, some sort of deal with Disney. Like, not in terms of like an exclusivity thing with certain games, but I want a goddamn superhero game. it stuff like that would probably be more of an. Obviously, I'd love an acquisition for my choice of gaming things, but as you say, I mean, Xbox isn't short of quality game studios, and we're yet to see what some of the newer ones can do with a lot more funding, such as Ninja Theory and the like. So it'd be interesting to see with them. But yeah, as you say, a Japanese one could make sense for the reasons you say. But yeah, a deal or some sort. Obviously, we have Indiana Jones with what they're called? Machine thingy. What are they called?
Machine Games.
That's it. I had it. I had it and then bottled it. So yeah, I've got that. Maybe not an exclusive character or something like that, but I think there has been rumours of like a Mandalorian game and stuff like that. I'd like to see more details on stuff like that, because it's an easy win for Sony, and I'm not one of these console war people, but it's an easy thing where you go, PlayStation has exclusive rights on Spider-Man for understandable reasons, but they also have it for Wolverine. Be like, oh, here's a Mandalorian game. I'll use that example, but stuff like that, I'd be more interested than an acquisition, unless it is something mental like buying WB, because, you know, they have some of the best developers. Obviously, probably won't get, we've mentioned this on other podcasts, but you probably won't get the DC characters and stuff with it, would you, sir? But yeah, Rocksteady would be lovely, but I want to see what other people do first. So yeah, I share your thoughts with it, really. I mean, I wouldn't turn down an acquisition, but it'll probably not. I can't see it being anything huge. I don't see why. Although, who would have saw Bethesda selling? Because they weren't exactly doing badly, were they? But time will tell. And if anything breaks, we'll obviously be back to talk about it. I was going to mention this on the what we've been playing bit, but Bethesda. Battlefield got delayed a month. We seem more excited by that than, say, COD, for example, which I will talk about later on when we do get to what we've been playing. But a month delay, I mean, the only worry for me is if that spirals into a longer delay, which we've seen in recent times. Is that be the main worry for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to complain about a delay, because the best approach for a studio is to put the game out when it's ready. And I think with Battlefield, you can look back at when Battlefield 4 launched, and it was an absolute shit show. You know, and that's probably not too distant in people's memories. So, you know, we wouldn't want the same thing to happen here, that Battlefield 6 would launch and be an absolute mess, or Battlefield 2042 rather. So we don't want that. So I think it's probably a smart move if they're not quite ready to go, but it is a move that could have some impact, when given that now it means that Call of Duty gets out 2 weeks ahead, and you know already you're up against it to dethrone Call of Duty. So I'm sure that's why they were probably hoping to get out ahead of COD. But obviously, as I said, it is what it is. They have to get the game out in a good state, and obviously that's what they're aiming to do. So as I said, take all the time they need and get it out when it's ready. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's annoying, because I was looking forward to playing it, but yeah, as you say, I mean, Cyberpunk's the obvious example, but Battlefield have experience of it with themselves. But just delay it. People, I think we always say, people will forgive a delay, but they won't forgive a bad game. So yeah, and they won't forget a bad game either. So yeah, take your time. Hopefully it is just the month that they need, because I say they'll forgive a delay, but when they delay it, then delay it again, and then it's just like, just take a longer delay. Stop pissing about. But yeah, hopefully it's just a month. But yeah, to be fair, a game like 2042, where it is just multiplayer, we haven't seen the beta yet, so hopefully that'll have good impressions. But yeah, a game like 2042, it'll probably improve over time anyway. So as long as it's not like a horrendous state, you could probably launch it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I am looking forward to it. But the reason we're here, Carl, is to talk about the THQ Nordic 10th Anniversary Showcase. Overall thoughts, I'm probably expecting a bit more considering they're talking about stuff we've not seen in years, but I suppose we got that with a game we'll talk about in a sec, but it's not one I'm familiar with, but not loads there, but some of it looked fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent showcase, you know, a little underwhelming. You know, I think my expectations were maybe set a little higher, given particularly that it was an anniversary showcase and they've gone out of their way to have it. But I felt, you know, there were some good-looking games in there, and also it was respectful of your time. And I think, as we often highlight, how important that is for us when it comes to these showcases. You know, we don't want our time wasted. There was very little frill here. You were generally jumping from trailer to trailer, and, you know, games weren't overstaying their welcome. We were getting on to the next thing. So I think all in all, it was a decent showing. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we got what we expected, and I think, again, I think you mentioned it, hinted at early, with the Embracer Group buying anyone, you don't know what's THQ, what's a Silver Hand, and we don't know where whatever is wherever. But yeah, I think we got a good collection of games. Some of it looked interesting, some of it, well, Outcast especially, I think that was the one they hinted at, where it's bringing a new IP, an old IP back to life.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's not something I'm familiar with, but it looked impressive. So, yeah, bringing new stuff that, well, to me and probably another generation, because I think it was 99 the first one came out. So, obviously, I was 5 back then. So, yeah, interesting stuff. But we'll go through it game by game. And do you want to start with the one that I think everyone expected? Because I think it pretty much leaked beforehand, didn't it?
Yeah, Sony leaked it ahead of things. So the first game up was Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed from Black Forest Games. It was a great way to start things. Having the sort of trailer for the game be linked to America by Rammstein. I mean, I'm actually a big Rammstein fan. I love them. So, I mean, that really got my attention. We talked about it on the preview. I loved the original games. I've been meaning to play the remake for a while. This is just another one to add to the list. You know, the Destroy All Humans games are just so fun. I mean, it's the kind of game you can just jump into and you don't need to even follow the objectives. You can just destroy everything. That was pretty much my MO when I played Destroy All Humans, was just to erase everything on the map. That's how I went about it. So they're just a lot of fun, and it's great that they're kind of given the series the spotlight that it deserves. I mean, there's already strong rumors of a Destroy All Humans 3 coming in the not so distant future. So it's awesome to see. I mean, what were your thoughts on that one?
The song was fun. I really like the song. I think everyone our age likes a bit of Rammstein now and again, don't they? No, I grew up... I did hardcore play this when I was a kid. I played Destroy All Humans 1. I think I'm pretty sure I played 2 as well. But it's just a fun game, isn't it? It's almost in that arcadey manner. We see we mentioned Saints Row a couple of shows ago, didn't we? It's like that. It's like just a fun sandboxy type game, and yeah, it almost like takes the mick out of certain people because you have Roswell inspired and stuff like that. But it is just fun. And I haven't picked up the first one, but I might do. I might do. It's not really inspired by this showing, but they're just fun games, aren't they?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's just when you want to just mindlessly mess about in a game, and as I said, you don't need to pay attention to the story or the objective. You know, it's not a challenging game in my recollection. You know, it's just, as you said, it's just a complete sandbox. It's the perfect setting for a sandbox game, almost, is to be a UFO just kind of making your way across the countryside, you know, abducting cows and using your
hypnotizing people for no reason.
Yeah, disguising yourself as housewives and sneaking about. It's just really, as you said, I think that fun is the best way to describe the series. So it's, as I said, it's fantastic that they're paying it its dues at this point after kind of leaving the IP dormant for so long.
Mm. Yeah, that was the thing. I think that's what we're kind of seeing from THQ as well. It's not afraid to bring stuff back, but I mean, remasters and HD remakes and stuff like that are all the craze right now. But Outcast 2, A New Beginning, they seem to big up the first one, but you're just a tad older. I mean, do you remember the first one or ever heard of the first one?
I've been aware of it. I believe it got a remake more recently.
Right, okay.
So, or at least a remaster. But I haven't actually played it myself. I was aware of kind of the premise roughly coming into the showcase. But obviously this gave me a better idea of it. And it's a cool concept of, you know, kind of a lone human getting thrown into a alien world and, you know, ultimately becoming the hero. I mean, it's one that, it's not exactly one we're a stranger to. We've seen it in movies and books and such. And
Avatar and, crossed with Stargate.
Yeah. The remake was released in 2017. It was titled Outcast Second Contact.
Right.
Which is quite confusing, you know, calling the remake Second Contact and then having Outcast 2, because people are going to be thinking, so have we not already had an Outcast 2? but, you know, let's not go down the rabbit hole of confusing video game titles. I've kind of had my eye on the remake. I remember when the remake launched and I heard a lot about it. So I've been, you know, him and Han about giving that a try. So it was, you know, now that there's a second one on the horizon, that's even more motivation to do so. So I wouldn't rule out having a go at this one, because as I said, it's mostly like the concept of having like a lone human put on an alien world that intrigues me. I know Prey, the original Prey 2, that got cancelled ultimately, had that very concept where a human was kind of abducted and placed into an alien world where they worked as a bounty hunter, and it's just really cool. I mean, it's like Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's that's kind of vibe I get. So it's just, as I said, it's just a really cool concept. Maybe secretly I wish that I had been abducted by aliens and placed on an alien world. Maybe that's why I like the concept. But yeah, it's one I'll be certainly keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I think when it's out and if we see the actual scope of it, I think that'll be quite interesting, really. But yeah, I think it's one to keep an eye on more than anything. But that was quite a lot of that in this showcase. And for me, probably this next one, Expeditions Rome. I mean, I think it's only announced for PC, but we have seen games like this eventually come to console. This, I don't know how you'd word it. It's not exactly a civilization. It's what you control a squad in a turn-based typey world. I wouldn't compare it like Wastelandy, maybe.
Yeah, I think you know, it definitely gives a vibe of those isometric RPGs. I'd call it like a commando-like, because Commandos is the first game of that style that I can recall. So kind of like your Commandos, your Desperados, which coincidentally was another THQ Nordic game, the Desperados 3, not so long ago. And we'll talk about another one that's in that vein in the not-so-distant future. I like those games. I have fond memories of playing Commandos and Commandos 2 back on the PC. I own the games again on GOG.com. And they're just a lot of fun. It was just I always liked the, particularly with the Commandos series, like the choice you had as far as how you take on a level, like with your different characters, the different ways you can take down enemies. Now, I mean, this looks a lot more combat based than perhaps Commandos was, but nonetheless, it is a genre that I like and that I've always retained an interest in, and you know, tack a historic appeal on, and it's all the more interesting to me. So, this is another one that was definitely up my alley. I mean, what about you?
Yeah, I don't know if they announced it had co-op or anything like that. It'd be one of them ones if it did have co-op. I'd play with one of my specific mates who we just tend to get through games like that. It would be of interest. I know for a fact my Mac that I'm on now would not probably have enough power for it. But if it ever does make its way to console, it'd be one I'd certainly look at 100%. And that's always, it's always a bloody shame. It'd be one of them. One of these years, I'll have to get a PC, won't I? Space and stuff like that. But yeah, it looked right up my street, but annoying, kind of being locked out on an old boring console, I suppose. But yeah, it's a game I'd play 100%. Next up, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this has played a game similar, or even just this game, MXV versus ATV Legends. Who hasn't had fun on one of the similar type of game?
I mean, I'm just proud that I, you know, in our preview of this event, that looking at the studio's kind of release history, that I guessed that an MX versus ATV title was due, and I was right in that sense. There was a clear pattern to their releases, so it seems like they're sticking to that pattern. I mean, it's not really for me. I mean, it just, when we were taught, reminds me of when we talked about Gran Turismo 7 when we were reviewing the Sony event last week. You know, I don't think we're probably the best to speak about this. I mean, we're more the kind of, you know, fair weather racing fans that might jump into the odd racing game. And you just kind of get that itch to, you know, you think, oh, I haven't played a racing game in years. And you just pick one up, or one's on Game Pass, or it's, you know, free for the PlayStation Plus games, or whatever the case might be, and you might jump into it and have a few races. That'd be kind of my approach to racing games these days. It was very, you know, in the past there was one or two that I got more into in a deeper level, like Forza 2 and a couple of Need for Speed games, but that those days are long gone. So, you know, I'm not really in a position to comment too much on this, but like, you know, similar to Gran Turismo 7, I'd say that these kind of games really show off what the current gen consoles can do in terms of a visual sense. Like it looks pretty, and you can't help but just, you know, even though it's not your kind of game, just to watch these trailers because they just look so impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think, as you say, we said the same about Gran Turismo, Forza and stuff like that. If you can't get it on the cheap, you're probably not going to pick it up unless you're a racing fan. I think F1 seems to be the more e-sporty one. So, yeah, the other's kind of just there for enjoyment, really. Superpower 3, we kind of only got a cinematic trailer. I was only half listening to the actual thingy, but I'll explain why later on. The actual showcase itself, did they mention what type of game this was? Because it looks a bit more, I won't say civilizationist, but it looks a bit more, what's that board game, the one where you country against country, any of your people know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it looks more like country versus country, maybe not the world building of civilization.
Like Risk?
Risk, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like to me, but again, it's only a cinematic trailer, so we don't really know. But did they mention anything?
Yeah, so it's one of those kind of political simulators, you know, it's a very kind of, let's say, like, withdrawn strategy game. You know, it's not going to be like your Age of Empires Command and Conquer, where you're commanding units on a field. I think Risk is a very apt comparison. I think it is, you know, it would have more maybe in common with like a Total War game. America, although I don't think you have kind of the option to control the battles like you would in Total War. I mean, outside of Total War, those kind of strategy games have never really been my thing. I mean, I'd rather to be able to kind of get more focused on a battlefield and control my units directly. I think as well, like, you know, it's just the hours upon hours that a game of a lot of these sort of strategy games can take. I mean, I'm just not sure I have the patience to sit down to one of them. I mean, a lot goes into them, and it's always impressed me how complex and deep they can be. But it's just not my kind of strategy game. I'll be honest as well, I hadn't heard of this series before this showcase. So I'm very surprised that this is Superpower 3, because I've never heard of Superpower 1 or 2.
Neither have I. But yeah, I've not had loads of experience. I mean, similar-ish games. Most people have played Civ at one point, but I've not even played like Total War and stuff like that, to be honest. So I have probably nothing to compare it to, really. Elix 2, again, cinematic, so you might have to fill in some blanks for me. Skybeam, big monstery people, could be fun, but again, I'm only going off a cinematic. I've been fooled before, but anything mentioned of what type of game it is, or just third person shooty shoot?
Yeah, so Elix is, I actually own the first game.
Right, okay.
But I haven't played much of it. It's an RPG, you know, very much, you know, you're a third person RPG. You're focused on
it. It looked like Outriders.
Your one character. Yeah, I can certainly get that vibe from it. But it's obviously in this kind of, it's more common in terms of these kind of, you know, single character focused RPGs that we generally associate with the Western gaming world. You know, we have the, you know, your Skyrims and your Fallouts and your Witchers, which are kind of the cream of the crop. But there's a lot of studios, particularly European studios, that create these games. Give us, you have Spiders, are of note. And then, you know, the Elex series is it's going to be a series, obviously, once this game launched, is another one that kind of placed itself on the map and that a lot of people would be aware of. And the first game had a great reputation, which is why I picked it up. I think a lot of people had plenty of fun with this one. So I think there's certainly an anticipation of this title, and I think that's why this was kind of one of the games they confirmed ahead of the showcase. You know, that this was the one that wasn't really a surprise. We knew it was coming. So it makes a lot of sense. We talked about it in the preview as well. It doesn't surprise me at all that they're doing a sequel, given the popularity of the first game. And it's a genre that, you know, we have some heavy hitters in, but it's not one that, like, we get a lot of games in. So it's nice that studios like Piranha Bytes and as I mentioned before, Spiders have kind of stepped into the void there and are bringing these games out.
Yeah, I mean, if it's got a similar hype or level of production as something like Greedfall, which I played, must have been last year, maybe time doesn't exist anymore, but last couple of years, I never finished Greedfall, but I would have liked to have gone. I might go back and finish it, because I'm nearly done with Hades, so maybe I need to go back on that. But yeah, RPGs. It seems to, as you said, there's the AAA everyone loves, but you need stuff in between that. And if that's filling this void, maybe it can be better as well. Because Witcher 2 or Witcher 3, big jump there. So we'll see. But yeah, now that I know it's an RPG, again, want to keep an eye on, just like Outcast. Jagged Alliance 3. Now, this looked more XCOM-y than the ones we mentioned previous. I believe it was PC only as well, and we got a bit more gameplay on this one. It looked good, if you're into that type of game, which I do enjoy these type of games. I mentioned with the Marvel Midnight Sun game on the last couple shows. But it's not one that gets the heart racing, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of the Jagged Alliance series. I've never played any of them. Fun tip, actually, because of this anniversary, the first game in the series, the Gold Edition, so that the game along with all its DLC is free on Steam until the 23rd of September. So, you're interested in giving that a try, check it out. I mean, the first, it's quite dated. I mean, the first Jagged Alliance came out in the 90s, so it's been a minute, but it'll give you kind of an idea of the series. I think XCOM is a sound comparison. I certainly get that vibe as well. With Jagged Alliance 3, I think the older games were, you know, somewhat different. They were, I suppose, yeah, maybe a little more like the early XCOM. So I guess it's just made the similar evolution to the XCOM series. So it's a fitting comparison to make, indeed. I mean, like, I've talked about the XCOM games before. I like them. I'm terrible at them, but I do enjoy them. You know, I'm happy to get my ass kicked by them. So I might give this a try, particularly given that the first one's free on Steam at the moment. So I'd check that out. And then if I like the first one, I'll keep an eye on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best way to look at it. Last game then, I'm not sure why why it finished with this one, but SpongeBob SquarePants The Cosmic Shake, anything at all?
I mean, they only recently re-released, kind of did a remaster, let's say, of the Battle in Bikini Bottom? Am I saying that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated Edition. And, I mean, I'd always heard of Battle for Bikini Bottom. I couldn't name another SpongeBob video game. I know there's a lot of them, given the popularity of the cartoon, and why wouldn't it be popular? SpongeBob's awesome. But Battle for Bikini Bottom is one that has always had a great reputation since it came out. I think, God, it must be the guts of 20 years ago. Would have been like one of the early SpongeBob games. So when they remastered it, I kind of felt like I had to play it. And I don't really play that kind of game, but it's been one that often pops into my mind when I'm looking through stores and stuff and think I might pick it up and give it a go. So given the popularity of that game, I'm not surprised that they're coming out with a follow-up. It makes a lot of sense, and I can see kind of why they'd bookend this showcase with Destroy All Humans at one end and SpongeBob at the other, because I feel they're probably the two series that are most going to appeal to fans. And it's mm-hmm. just interesting, really, the kind of reemergence in terms of video games that Nickelodeon properties have had in the past few years. I mean, obviously you have these SpongeBob games. There's that Nickelodeon kind of Smash Bros. Or the All-Star, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
Don't they have a Mario Kart as well?
There's Nickelodeon Kart Racers. I think the first one was a bit iffy. It came out 2018. It didn't do so well. But I think the second one that came out last year was a notable improvement. So it's interesting just that the reemergence there. There's also the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game we talked about on the show a few weeks ago that's coming out. So it just seems like a renaissance almost of Nickelodeon games. I mean, they were printing them in the 90s and noughties, but kind of felt like it went quiet then for a few years, but they're definitely back.
Yeah, it seems that way. And everyone's grew up with Nickelodeon in their life. I mean, Drake and Josh, Kanan and Kel, SpongeBob. Who doesn't love that shit? That type of stuff. That's it then. I mean, it was, as I say, bookended by two of the probably more well-known games, you'd probably say, as you say. We give our overall thoughts, but we've gone through it now. Stuff to look forward to, you'd probably say?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's as I said, there's a few games. You know, there's no one title here that I'd say that I'd personally be rushing out to buy, but there's definitely a lot of potential, you know, with the likes of Destroy All Humans 2, Elex 2, and you know, probably SpongeBob as well, the Cosmic Shake, because their games, as I said, that their previous iterations have been on my radar for some time, and I'm constantly hemming and hawing about them. As I said, I own Elex, so I could jump into that at any time. And obviously, if the earlier games kind of are my thing and I enjoy them, then I'm more likely to jump into the follow-up. So these could be certainly titles that I pick up down the road and give a try. I mean, anything at all that jumped out for you?
I mean, one, Destroy All Humans, probably the one I'm most familiar with. One I'm looking forward to, I think from that showing, I'd probably say Outcast 2 or Expeditions Rome, but I probably won't get to play Expeditions Rome because I doubt it'll come to Xbox or console, I should say. But Outcast 2, something I'll keep an eye on, but now I've had Elex 2 described to me, and that used to be a hit in RPG and stuff like that. I think probably Outcast 2 and Elex 2, probably stuff I'll look forward to, yeah. So, not loads there, but stuff that actually interesting you, and not a sizzle reel insight. How about that? But yeah, a good quick showing, because, I mean, we've criticised multiple people in the past for doing an hour when half an hour would do, so fair enough, doing 25 minutes, spot on. Before we go, Carl, what have you been playing since we last talked last week?
Since last week, what have I played? That is a good question. Well, I've played plenty of Final Fantasy 14. That's a given. Outside that, not a lot, actually. But I was actually, my girlfriend and I went to Token on Saturday. It's like an arcade bar here.
Oh,
hadn't been in it since pre-COVID. So got a chance to play some classic arcade games, some of the Spider-Man beat 'em up, some Street Fighter 2, some Time Crisis 2, a personal favorite of mine when it comes to arcade games. I mean, there's nothing quite like picking up the gun and shooting at the screen yourself.
House of the Dead, that's all.
They don't actually have a House of the Dead machine there, which is surprising. I mean, they have, as I said, they have Time Crisis 2, and prior to COVID, they had a Point Blank machine up as well. But I think they're the only two light gun games that they have. Now, they might have, they tend to acquire new machines and rotate them in and out. So they might have a few kind of in storage, but they're probably waiting until post-COVID to get kind of some of the old machines and some new machines in there. So be interesting to see what they have there in a few months. But that was kind of my primary gaming experience over the past week, but it's fun to get back out into an arcade. What about you? What have you been playing? You alluded to the Call of Duty beta earlier on the show.
Yeah, so that the open beta hit over the weekend. It might have been Sunday, actually, but somehow got a code. They tweeted a code for everyone on Saturday, or how to access a code. So Saturday night, Sunday, and before we started doing this, I was on it. I don't know how to word this. It doesn't feel like what I played when I loved Call of Duty from 4 to Black Ops 2. It to sum it up, it's basically Modern Warfare, so the one from 2 years ago, with a World War 2 skin. It's the same engine. You do your knee slidey stuff. There's already hackers in the beta, which if you're not a Warzone player, everyone knows the hacking problem in that game. There's hackers on the beta. Some of it I like it plays well. It plays familiar because it is the same engine. The maps aren't too impressive, which is still my main takeaway. You might be different to me. What are your favourite CODs? Are you a four to six person like me?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of cut my teeth on COD on... Well, actually, would have played the original COD on PC because Matt, who we had on the podcast in the past, his dad was a big PC gamer and particularly liked first person shooters, so I remember playing Call of Duty on his PC. But you know, in terms of myself, the first one I would have owned would have been Call of Duty 2 on the 360, and followed quickly by Call of Duty 3. But then I think when I really jumped into the series then was with COD 4 and then World at War and Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. And I think those kind of three games were kind of my longest spell on Call of Duty. I would have played a couple after that, and I own them, but I would have kind of played the campaign and played it, you know, maybe 10 or so hours of multiplayer and then moved on to something else. So it's been a while since I've been kind of what I'd call a Call of Duty player, and I haven't even purchased one since I think World War II, and that would have been the last one that I played the multiplayer of as a result. So I don't really have a context for the more recent titles in the series. I haven't even played Warzone. which I know will be shock horror to a lot of people, given its popularity. And I really should, because I think it's strange.
Not in its current state. It's not pretty.
But I was reading actually earlier, and that kind of slipped my mind as what you were saying there about there being hackers on the beta already, and that just seems crazy to me. I remember when I returned to Call of Duty World at War a few years after it had released, I just kind of had the desire to play it. I hadn't played it in years. I think it was when we were kind of at that time starved of World War II shooters. And I went on it, and you know, you just see like God mode on the screen, and people would be like jumping around and shooting laser beams at you and all this nonsense, and it just ruined the game, really. So the idea that is already happening on a brand new Call of Duty is pretty concerning to me.
Yeah, I mean, last week there was you could fly in the vehicles in Warzone. So you could just, but obviously you got helicopters and stuff, but people were like flying around the map on motorcycles and stuff like that, which is always fun. But yeah, my point I was making before, that I'm sure you remember maps that you loved on 4, 5 and 6. Because I do. I like Wet Work. I hated Countdown, but I remember it. Block, I loved. Sub-pens and stuff like that on Modern Warfare 2, Castle. But I don't think I can remember a Call of Duty map that isn't like just a remake of one on the Black Ops as well. It just, everything feels like formulaic. It's just free lanes and stuff. That's probably my biggest problem with Call of Duty multiplayer. The maps are just boring and formulaic and crap, really. But yeah, it's just more of the same from Call of Duty, I think. And where you probably differ from the Call of Duty community, that people aren't happy about it being a World War II shooter, even though they've kind of took most of the stuff about it being World War II. They're like, you can now get like red dot sights and stuff like that in World War II. So I think they've just went, realism's not it. But yeah, if you liked Call of Duty and you just like something to play online for a few hours, it seems pretty easy to play to me. But unless my mate buys it when game sharing with, I probably won't buy it. Like, they do it in terms of story, I think they're doing them vignette things that a Battlefield are doing, so see, might not even be worth picking up for the story. But yeah, it's just more recent Call of Duty. It's Modern Warfare with a World War II skin. So yeah, if you like Modern Warfare, if you like their multiplayer, it's the Warzone engine. So yeah, if you like that, give it a bash. I think it's open till Wednesday, but you'll see plenty of content creators and stuff playing it if you don't get a chance. But yeah, that's it for me. I've been on Overwatch the odd time, still playing Hades. Probably looking for another single player game as soon as 100% Hades. But yeah, that's it. But I think that's it for the podcast, unless any news breaks in the next 2 seconds, which usually does after we stop recording. Well, that's it. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.